Today is our conclusion on fulfilled Bible prophecies, concluding with the probably fourth or fifth message about the prophecies fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about how people have put together different lists, and I passed out to you the list I put together, and I came up with 194. I can already think of one or two that's missing from here. And certainly, like, Scriptures might be fulfilled. I'll read that again. Was it batteries, Rich?
Yeah. But someone left it on last week.
Gee, that must have been me. Okay, John 19, verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, which were because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that his legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced." At the end, John is pointing out to us that the things that happened right there at that cross happened in fulfillment of those scriptures. Prior to that, we started reading in verse 28, where it says in verse 28, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." So he knew that everything that had to be fulfilled was fulfilled at that point. Then he gives up the ghost and dies. After he dies, there's still scripture to be fulfilled after his death. And so that whole section shows you those things. And that's in our talking about the outline. In that list that I gave you, we've already talked about the first, second, third, fourth section, the fifth section there, the fourth section there being the just book chapters of the Bible that have multiple prophecies in them. But then in chapters, in points five and six, those we never talked about. And so I just want to briefly go over a couple of those things. And rather than looking up all the scriptures, this kind of set the point, because there were prophecies fulfilled at the cross. We just read some of those. And so that's the last page in the notes that I passed out there. And so just some of those that are listed there, that the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree in Deuteronomy, and that's related to the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Galatians, that in he dying on the cross, he became a curse for us, the Bible says. Joshua, there's a reference there to the captain of our salvation, which is exactly what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 speaks about in the Lord Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He's the captain of our salvation. Job asked for a mediator, and Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, became the mediator for man. And then Daniel called him Messiah, the prince, and said that he would be cut off, and that's Messiah being the Christ, and certainly he gave up the ghost and died. It also said that when he died, that he didn't die for himself. And certainly that's, I mean, you could put multiple references there. That one in Hebrews 2:9 is how he tasted death for every man. And then someone else pointed this one out, but I didn't realize, but when you read Daniel 9, he's actually describing the events that are going to take place, you know, in the future by the Messiah. And it has him being cut off before the temple is destroyed. And I never thought about that order, but that is a fulfillment, because he died, and I don't necessarily take the destruction of the temple to be 70 AD. I still think it's tribulation that's going to be destroyed, but either way, the order is exactly as Daniel had said. And then those last three in Zechariah 12:10, that he would be pierced. They'll look upon me whom they have pierced. We just read when the soldier pierced his side. Earlier, it was in Numbers that we already talked about how not a bone of his would be broken. That was fulfilled there at the cross. That's not even in that list. It's on their list in another place. That reference in Zechariah, I'm not going to take you back there and show you this, but if you take the context of Zechariah chapter 12, it'll have Jehovah speaking. And at every place where Jehovah's saying this, and then when you get to that verse 10, it says, they'll look upon me. Well, who's me? Well, it's Jehovah, the one who's talking, whom they have pierced, identifying that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. He's man and God. He's, as a man, he's dying, but as Jehovah, he's the one fulfilling that prophecy, and because he is Jehovah, as we're going to say, he's going to raise himself from the dead. And in Zechariah 12:10, again, that they're going to mourn for him after his death. And by the way, I left that out. If you have a pen, I'll tell you the fulfilled prophecy on that. Luke 23, verses 48 and 49 is where they mourn after his death. And then even Luke 24:17 has to do with the sadness of those two on the road to Emmaus. They're sad, conflicted about Christ's death, but it actually says in Luke 23:48 and 49 about they smote themselves or something like that when he died, all them that were there. So that's the reference to those. I'm sure there's even more, but those are just some of the prophecies that were fulfilled on the cross or because of the cross. And then the last section I have there is the prophecies fulfilled in his resurrection. And this is interesting to me, because most of these prophecies that are fulfilled in his resurrection, he made the prophecy himself. And there is the Psalms 16:10 there that begins talking about his soul will not be left in hell. Well, the very fact that he said that, you know, that he was going to go 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and he told that thief on the cross with him that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Just where he went between death and resurrection was fulfilled. And the fact that his soul wasn't left there in resurrection, that's what Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2, talking about the resurrection of Christ, and that his body didn't see corruption. And you compare that to Lazarus, who was dead 4 days, and his body stinketh, but the Lord was raised the third day, and so his body didn't see corruption. Then, like Mark 8:31, he said that in 3 days he would rise. And so that's his own prediction, and sure enough, the scriptures record the fulfillment of that. He said in John 10 that no man would take his life. And the very fact that when he hung on the cross and said, it says that he gave up the ghost. They didn't kill him. He gave up. the ghost. And otherwise, he wouldn't have died. He would rise. The fact that he said he would raise himself from the dead. And that's interesting because you could trace the scripture and follow the Trinity all involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. I take it up again. And sure enough, he rose from the dead, proving his point. He told them, he says, and when he first told them he's going to die, he said, I'll meet you in Galilee. And then when he rose from the dead, the angels reminded the women to tell everybody, remember, he said he'll meet you in Galilee. So, and then they did meet in Galilee after that. So that was fulfilled. And then because of that, he is a priest forever. Psalm said that God would provide a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews says that's Jesus Christ. And that he would ascend to the right hand of the Father. He did that. And that the one ascending to the right hand of the Father would be both David's son and David's Lord. And that's who Jesus Christ was and proven in that resurrection and ascension. But the other two things is that he said that he would baptize with the Holy Ghost. John said it before him, but then he said it himself in Acts 1, 5. And then just Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, he baptized them with the Holy Ghost. And then as Joel 2 said that he would pour out the Holy Spirit, he did pour out the Holy Spirit. So those prophecies were fulfilled in the resurrection in the resurrection of Jesus Christ before his ascension or even including his ascension. So that takes us to fulfilled Bible prophecies, the end of those things. In going over some of those things, there was a couple things I wanted to point out to you. There is, like in the reading we did in John chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's prophecies he's deliberately doing to fulfill. There's things he's doing deliberately to fulfill the prophecies. That's what he said. When he knew all things were fulfilled, then he gave up the ghost. So anybody who would be skeptical about looking at the prophecies of Christ saying they're self-fulfilled because he's doing it. But then there's things that are well beyond his control that are in our list. And I'm just going to point some of them out. In fact, on the first page of your list, the virgin birth. The thing centered around his birth. He can't control that before he's born. His heritage, point B there, and all the seed line that he came from. He had no control over those things. He did as God, but I mean not as a man doing self-fulfilled prophecies. Even number 18 there, the star that showed up, you know, as God, he does control that. He did set that in motion back in Genesis chapter 1. But as far as his birth is concerned, self-fulfilled, that's not something he could accomplish. And then the location, where he was going to be born and all those set things, those are all prophecies that had to be, that he had no control over. On page 2 there, number 59, when you think about, we went over these last week, and I don't know if I emphasized the uniqueness of all this, but it says they negotiated his price. The point of that is Judas didn't ask. They negotiated with him. They start the negotiation. So, I mean, here's his enemies negotiating, and so he certainly didn't cause them to do that. They did that on their own, but the prophets said that they would, and they did that. Then they determined a price. Then the price was 30 pieces of silver. It could have been, 20 pieces of silver. It could have been, 2 ounces of gold or something, but it was exactly what the Bible said. Then they cast, that money ends up being cast down in the house of the Lord. He wasn't even around when they did that. He was crucified at that point. And then the money was used to buy the potter's field. And, not somebody else's field. It was done there. Even the casting down. It wasn't cast down in the street. It wasn't cast down. It was cast down exactly where the Bible said. So all those things, no control over any of those things, just showing that the Bible is true and that Jesus Christ is indeed the one that the Bible is pointing to, as I keep thinking of that Hebrews verse. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Number 85 in that list, and it's what we read in John there. They pierced my hands and my feet. Well, it's the feet part that you get from the Old Testament, but we know that they pierced him in two ways. They pierced him on his side, but they also nailed him to that cross. And fulfilling that prophecy, that the Romans decided to do that. I'm not sure if I even marked down the one, or even I put in here somewhere that that his own, one of the self-fulfilled prophecies is that he said that he, that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And the Bible says, signifying by what death he should die. Remember, they tried to stone him all the time that he walked the earth, but he said, I'll be lifted up. And to be lifted up means you're going to be placed on a cross. So he predetermined and pre-prophesied that he was going to die on a cross, not by Jewish stoning. And that was fulfilled. So anyhow, the piercing of his hands and feet, nailing to a cross, that's not the way Jews would have killed someone. That was a Roman. So they decided to put him on a cross. They decided to nail him. Number 87 there, they parted my garments among them. And then they cast lots for his vesture. You can read all that there in Luke or even in John, I believe. And those things, I mean, he's hanging on a cross and they're over there gambling for his robe. And therefore not dividing that up. So those prophecies are fulfilled by someone else other than him causing it to happen. 112. They gave me gall for my meat. The next one. In my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. And that's what they're offering him up on the cross there. And they determined that. He didn't say, hey, give me this. He did say, I thirst. And then they do this to him rather than helping him with his thirst at all. 117, I became a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads. And when you read that in Matthew 27 there, it says they wagged their heads. He's on a cross and they're just shaking, saying, they're mocking him. You said you could save others, you can't even save yourself. But the Bible says they wagged their head. Just as, so, it, you know, he didn't say, everybody turn your head now. In number 137, my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. You wouldn't know Jesus Christ had a beard except the Old Testament tells you that. But you do have all that, my cheeks, reference to how he was before the, it said they buffeted him, and I only imagine they smacked him on the face. I think that's how they did Paul. But when the chief priest was questioning who he says he was, and he wouldn't answer, and they buffeted him, they certainly smacked him. And so those references are there of them abusing him that way. But the New Testament never actually says pulling the hair out of the cheek. But it's from the Old Testament that you learn that he did have hair on his cheek, that he had a beard of some type. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And several references to how they spit on the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, outside his control, he's not doing something to fulfill the prophecy. It's happening. He said it would. The Bible said it would, and it did. 159. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And the rich man, Arimathea, Joseph there, Josephus? What's his name? No, Joseph. He hewed out a place for himself, and there he placed Jesus Christ, where never a man laid, but fulfilling that prophecy in it after he's dead, where he's going to get buried. And we already talked about prophecy number 180 there, about they pierced him, and they took that sword and pierced his side. 186, he would rise in 3 days. He wasn't. Now, that one is self-fulfilled in the fact that he raised himself, but if you want to say that's a prophecy that doesn't show that self-fulfillment, if he raised himself from the dead, he's who he claimed to be. So, and that's the whole point of all these prophecies. Well, I have another thing to show you. There's a category I didn't put in. I saw someone else had this. I thought it's quite interesting. They recorded 29 prophecies, some of that we've already talked about, and I'll just read them quickly, but there's 29 prophecies that happened just in that one day. Starting out, I'll just read these in a list that's somebody else's. Betrayed by a friend, sold for 30 pieces of silver, money thrown down in the house of the Lord, the price for the potter's field, forsaken by his disciples, accused by false witnesses, mute before his accusers, wounded and bruised, smitten and spit upon, mocked, fell under the cross, hands and feet pierced, crucified with thieves, made intercession for persecutors, rejected by his own, hated without a cause, friends stood afar off, people shook their heads, stared upon him, garments parted and lots cast, that's really two there, suffered thirst, gall and vinegar offered, his forsaking cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, committed himself to God, his bones not broken, his heart broken, his side pierced, darkness over the land, buried in a rich man's tomb. And so, I mean, just what we were doing in all of this is just talking about looking at the prophecies, because God gave us those prophecies so that we have so that Jesus Christ has the credentials and our faith is not vain, it's not even blind faith. But we were talking about the possibilities of these prophecies being fulfilled. And they're just astronomical, because you just take, how could all that happen in just one day? And I bet you if you look, you could actually add to that list and then look at the list that we've been going through for the last, 4 weeks, looking at each one. As we went along, like when we hit 8, I told you the possibilities of 8 is 1 times 10 to the 17th power. 17 zeros, that's just for 8 prophecies. Like where he's going to be born, and anyhow, when you look at those details, when you look at that list in Zechariah, just all the details about the price for his betrayal and what's going to happen with the money, the chances of those things happening. We said when we talked about somebody calculated just the chance that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And there's another Bethlehem, plus he could have been born in any other place in the world, so that they come out, just that one possibility is 1 times 300,000 possibilities. But anyhow, when you got up to 48 prophecies, that's where Peter Stone does that calculation, where it's one chance that those 48 prophecies could be fulfilled, 1 times 10 with 157 zeros after it. So based on that, now I'm no mathematician, but I've listed 194. What's the possibilities of 194? If 48 is 1 times 10 with 157 zeros, this is unscientific. I'm just trying to figure out if they said 8 is 1 times 10 to the 17th. I'm trying to figure out their formula, how they come up to when they get to 48, it's 1 times 10 to the 157th power. But anyhow, just trying to figure out how they're calculating. I came to the conclusion that would have been 1 times 10 with 612 zeros after the 10. 1 times 10 with 50 zeros is impossible. The possibility is zero at that. And so that's unscientific to come up with that number, but it's somewhere to that degree. So anyhow, with that, come to Isaiah, and it's probably where we started, chapter 48. This is a good conclusion to the study. I forgot to tell you when you were writing things down, that number 37 is Matthew 26, 67. 27 doesn't have 67 verses in it. It ends at verse 66. That's just one I caught. Who knows what other mistakes are here. But number 137, it's Matthew 26, 67 is the fulfillment of that. But in conclusion, I want to read to you Isaiah 48. And begin in verse 3, the first part of that addresses the nation of Israel. But in verse 3 it says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is as an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou should say, my idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will ye not declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things that thou knewest not, didst not know them. They are created now. and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou should say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knowest not, yea, from the time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. Now, he's scolding the nation of Israel for turning to idols away from the true and living God. But boy, isn't that true of every person? We're all born sinners, and we're all stubborn, and God has given prophecy after prophecy after prophecy so that everybody in the world, not just the nation of Israel, we have the Old Testament as well, so that we could know that only God can tell us things that are going to take place before they come to pass. And they have come to pass. And we've studied, I don't even know the number of prophecies we studied in the last year, that fulfilled Bible prophecies that show that the Bible's the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and that He's coming back, and the prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled are going to be fulfilled right to the T. And so God has spoken ahead of time so that we would know. And so we've studied to see what He said concerning some of those things that He said ahead of time. Any questions? Okay. If, by the way, you find an error, please be free to share it with me so I can correct this thing. And if you read through this and see a glare, well, even if you add to it, I'd be glad to add to the prophecies on here too. And just, we won't pass them out again, but we can certainly, I can certainly add to the list, because a lot of work went in here. Because Christopher is preaching next hour, I got to spend Friday just typing my fingers off, and I was working on yesterday even at home from there. So let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your Bible, for your Son, for you knowing us in our sinful condition, how stubborn we can be, how we can neglect your Word and neglect your truth. And certainly the critics of the world can mock our faith. But Father, our faith is not blind faith at all. That you have your own apologetics in the Scriptures. That you prove yourself by telling us ahead of time things that are going to come to pass. And when they came to pass, it declares that you are God and your Word is true. So Father, we thank you for this, and we pray that we might realize and even add to our understanding some of the things that you said prophetically. For us, it's that hope of the rapture, knowing that at any moment you could call us home and be caught up in the air to meet your Son and forever be with him there. And so, Father, we look forward to that event, and certainly the world will be judged and cleansed and your Son will reign. So we thank you for all the things that we know, even that's yet ahead. In Christ the Savior's name we pray. Amen.